Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. Hey.
Welcome back, and we have some tech questions, problems, issues, trying to get a hold of our special guest, Jonathan Gray. He's in New Zealand, and of course, the website is beforeus.com, and we will try to connect him if necessary through Skype. Let's see if we have some issues here. My Skype is misbehaving. Skype's done a lot of, they call it upgrades, they call it downgrades. They made their systems, screwed up to the point where a lot of people basically they no longer can get in contact with them. Let's see, this is strange. I don't understand this. Okay, so do we have a connection, Daniel, for Jonathan in New Zealand? Yeah, I had him on my phone. I'll actually connect to my phone, see if I can connect, because I have an international phone. Yeah, you know, I'm a techomaniac. I do have lots of backup ways of trying to get a hold of people. We used to have even Hughes Satellite here, which I don't use anymore. But I'm just calling him directly to New Zealand, and hopefully he'll pick up here.
New Zealand. The number you dialed
has either changed. No, it hasn't changed. Such is international communication nowadays. Strange, isn't it? Good morning, Jonathan. I've called you on your phone line. They're having difficulty calling you from the studio, either on Skype or phone, so I did it. So
Dr. Bill.
We'll try to connect on the next segment to Skype, and I'll try to connect on my end, because I think they did something over Genesis, so Skype doesn't work from Genesis anymore, from what I can see, at least in some countries like New Zealand. I can connect with Harley Schlanger in Germany, but New Zealand, I don't know what they did with Skype, but it's kind of, it's screwy.
So we
have good audio now. I want you to start off with your website is beforeus, beforeus.com, and your book is called Will You Survive? And we spent a lot of time going over some details. I kind of gave people the riot act here an hour or two when I had our guest on, Amy from Legacy Foods. People should start understanding that the end is coming and it's going to get messy. In fact, the disasters that are coming upon the human race would make the Stone Age be like the Sandals Resort. And I believe in a project that I think God is going to do someday. It's called, I call it the Rapture Project. And it's not to take good out of the earth and send them to heaven. It's to take evil out. But if you're not prepared to survive what's coming, you're going to be counted among the evil, just like, remember Lot and Lot's wife, who to return, basically, to be destroyed. That Lot was taken out of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by the angels because judgment was coming. And if you don't get out of the way of harm's way, you're going to be harmed by it. So let's get into it. So let's start from the top. What topic do you want to cover today?
Well, I just thought perhaps we could round off storing food, avoiding radiation, a few things like that.
Okay, go ahead.
We're on here now.
Yep.
Okay. Now, last broadcast together, we were looking at the Genesis solution. The record is there in the book of Genesis, which offers us survival information from past crises, information which is valid for today. And I think we did mention that we could not do better than to follow the example of Noah and Joseph in storing food for self and family and others who may desperately beg for help. It pays to be prepared, as you say.
Right. And by the way, I'm in the process right now of trying to contact you by Skype, and I'll see if we can connect there.
Okay.
See if that works, because I think we'll even have better sound if I connect by Skype, if we can.
All right. I'll put down the phone then.
Don't put the phone down, because it says you aren't online, so somehow, whatever your settings were set up on Skype, it's not working. So we'll work on the next break then. Because obviously that.
Okay.
So somehow your settings say you're not online, so it's not detecting you. Okay, please continue.
All right, fine. So storing food should be essential to our preparation for the coming shortages. Now, let's get specific a little bit here on this, because it will be more practical to be specific. In stocking up for hard times, there are two types of food we should not waste our money on. One is store-bought foods that are not freeze-dried, do not last long.
Right.
And secondly, forget about unhealthy food. During an emergency, having enough snacks is not going to increase the odds of survival.
Right.
Now, having said what we should not store, let's look at what would be good to store. And the answer is really foods that last. And the keys to consider are shelf life, bulk price, and more importantly, nutritional content. It's wise to store foods that require no refrigeration or freezing. For example, let's look at large sacks of rice and beans, grains and beans and honey will last a long time. Or just start stocking up from the grocery store. Canned food is good for 18 to 24 months, and we should buy just whatever you can and get. Well, whatever you can, get it from quickly.
Right.
And may I suggest that we make up a list now and start purchasing, because there are things that you're using all the time you may never think about, and just start looking at how much you use in a week, whether the foods that you essentially enjoy, which are nutritious. Now, it wouldn't hurt also, because you can stock more this way, is to try to obtain a bulk discount by buying in bulk. And in their food storage planning, some people will consider a non-flesh diet preferable. For those who are used to meat, some suggestions we will also give, but it's necessary to caution that as disease worsens, the meat that we're buying is becoming more and more diseased and less desirable, and it would be far better if you can survive from your own garden. But we'll address that later.
Right.
Now, Here's a few that I would count as top packaged foods to store, and these have an indefinite shelf life. Take jarred raw nut butters. Having peanut butter, almond butter, sesame tahini, now sesame seed butter that is, will provide for many recipes and a concentrated protein source that's easy to prepare.
Right.
Now, again, canned tomatoes. There are ingredients in tomatoes that actually become more bioavailable when the tomatoes are canned.
Right.
And canned tomatoes can be used to make homemade pasta and pizza sauce along with chili and so on.
Exactly. Back in just a moment, we'll see you there, Jonathan. We'll see if we can reconnect by Skype in the break here. Stay on the line. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Your microphone's not working. Okay, we'll continue on phone and we'll try the next segment because obviously we got a Skype connection, but you could hear me when I was talking on Skype, but I couldn't hear you. So your microphone's not tuned in, so you need to go to your settings section at the top there and it'll help you to figure out what's going on. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what's going on there. So I'm not sure...
That microphone has been working all through.
Right, yes. It's whether or not it's detected. It just has to detect it. Somehow, Dave, I've seen Skype is considerably different looking even than I saw it a few days ago. So what Skype's done is they've done a lot of setting changes, so it's not surprising. Let's continue.
Yes.
So I tell people they need to have what's called layers of preparedness. Now, it's a good idea, for example, the most advanced system I can think of, which I can help you assemble, is to get a clear, PET, mild hyperbaric chamber you can put in a window. Even if you're in a northern climate or a really vigorous climate like the mountains, you can actually grow anything. As long as you keep the roots of the plants at 55 degrees, like in the lean side of your house, if you have to get a warmer to warm the water, and if you have a sufficient amount of sunlight, and if you have a mild hyperbaric chamber that's basically 1.3 atmospheres and you have a CO2 cylinder to raise the parts from 1 to 1,000 and use minerals from MG12 with a special product that I have coming from another company, I can actually allow you to grow superfoods even using epigenetic frequencies from my epigenetic frequency therapy antenna system. So I know ways of actually growing foods. Now, if you don't go all the way with that little chamber, you can simply grow window sprouts, for example. In just a window box. But people need to start having things with their greenhouse or a kind of a greenhouse on the side of their home so they can keep it warm. So even if they're in northern climate, they can make sure that the south-facing house has a 4 to 6 foot area where they have, high-density poly and a little greenhouse against the side of their home. As long as the roots are 55 degrees, those plants will grow, won't they?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. And you have to understand, you're going to have... You're not going to be able to have open gardens because a lot of the air, food, and water is going to be poisoned with not only radiation because the nuclear war is coming. I know Trump's doing a lot of stuff to stop it, but I can tell you I absolutely will put money on it that they're not going to stop the proliferation of nuclear weapons, and eventually there will be a conflict, there will be an exchange of nuclear warheads, not just with minor but with major powers. So if you're not prepared for that, you also have to have long-term food storage, so the legacy food we talked about already, you need that. But you need to actually grow some of your own food. So if you have a meal and make so much, let's say, bacon or chicken or whatever you make, you need to be able to dehydrate it, put an oxygen absorber pack, and then drop those little tubes into a liquid nitrogen cylinder so you can actually sterilize them. But you don't want to end up getting ptomaine poisoning down the road or food poisoning that will either make you ill or kill you. And people need to be able to grow fresh food, too, food that has immediate nutrients that's still living. So whether it sprouts in your window and so on, so I'm sure you cover a lot of this in your book. Can you go through some of those details?
Yes, I'll get into some of those details today. I was going to mention also, Dr. Bill, the canned beans. Now, having cans of black beans, red beans, chili beans, garbanzo beans handy will support a variety of complementary sources of complete protein, especially when served with rice.
Right.
Now, garbanzo beans are the key component of hummus. And in some countries, they're available in extra large 25-ounce cans and even 108-ounce cans. I'm not sure what they are in the United States, but it does vary around the world.
Yeah, those are very nutritious, too. They cover a lot of proteins. In fact, the protein we have in our life support in Ageless is a combination of rice and pea protein, which covers all the amino acids you need.
Very good. Very good. Now, I just want to perhaps give a list of protein sources that can be stored with a 6 to 12 month shelf life. It's worth just knowing. I did mention garbanzo beans. We can also mention kidney beans, lentils, lima beans, navy beans, soybeans, split peas. Then there's also, that's in legumes. Now what about grains? There's protein in grains such as barley, brown rice, buckwheat, millet. I like millet very much, actually. We've started using it a lot lately. It's very nice. Oatmeal, rye, wheat germ, and wheat, wild rice, and so on. Now, among the vegetable proteins, high on the list I would put artichokes, beets, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, cucumbers, eggplant, green peas, green pepper, kale, lettuce, mushrooms, mustard green, onions, potatoes, spinach, tomatoes. You keep going. Turnip greens, watercress, yams, zucchini, and so on. I mean, there's such a wonderful supply of variety there. And these can all be grown in your home.
Right.
And now, what fruits. Proteins are very, very high in apple, banana, cantaloupe, grapefruit, honeydew melon, orange, papaya, peach, and we could add pear and pineapple, strawberry, tangerine, watermelon. I mean, there's such a great supply there. And what about nuts and seeds? My wife and I actually are enjoying much more than we ever have in our lives before. We're just feasting on almonds and walnuts. And then you could add cashews and peanuts, pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds, sunflower seeds, and so on.
Right.
So there's tremendous variety and very high protein in all of these.
Exactly.
Now, there are some top bulk grains that I would suggest to store. These would have, say, a 2-year shelf life. And right near the top would be brown rice. Now, this is a staple grain. We eat a lot of rice, and we never have a sick day. I can't remember when I've had a sick day. So many years I've lost count, the same with my wife. A staple grain is brown rice. It's cheaper than white rice. And while it may not taste as good to you if you haven't had it before, because it's an acquired taste, it is really nice. And when you acquire it, you just love it. It's a health food, not a junk food. And a blend of brown and white rice is ideal for both health and flavour, for those who are not used to just eating brown. Another one is spelt flour. Now, having the ingredients to make bread dough will provide for many recipes, and spelt flour is very good for that. But it's important to keep the flour sealed in watertight containers to keep out moisture and insects. That's very important. Now, amaranth, quinoa, couscous, and spelt are very high protein survival grains. We could mention dried peas. Dried peas are a great source of protein, and if mixed with rice, provide a substantial balanced meal.
Exactly.
They can make wonderful soup also.
Excellent. Keep that thought. I'll be right back. We're going to be on break. We'll see if we can attend the Skype and see if we can fix that. Otherwise, we'll stay on the phone.
Okay.
See you right there, Jonathan. welcome back. And we have now finally got connections on Skype. It has worked out. A little bit of persistence, a little bit of logic, a little patience, and we got it. So, Jonathan, I have Jonathan on my Skype, so he's coming through my my audio. He can hear well, right? Right, Jonathan?
Yes, Dr. Bill.
Yeah, so you can hear. You should be able to hear him fine on my level. Yeah, yeah. Can you hear
no
him?
No problem.
So, Daniel, yeah. So I'm bringing him through because I know whatever's going on at Genesis, they're having trouble with Skype. So I'm a techomaniac. I managed to figure out how to get around things and a couple segments. We've got it. It was actually a setting change in my speakers, but we managed to connect in the second segment. I sort of read people the Riot Act in hour number two, and I want people to understand how serious I take this. I believe that God gave me to repeat the Joseph prophecy back this spring, which means we have seven fat years. I think that, and I don't know exactly when things are going to hit the fan, but I have a feeling, even if we have some cataclysms, like, for example, with the longest red, was called the blood red moon, which occurred a few days ago, we did have a geoclimatic earthquake disaster that occurred in Indonesia. It killed, from what I understand, a lot of people. I think it's up to 1,000 people, displaced villages, and so on. But geoclimatic disasters, fires all over the planet are occurring everywhere. And there's a number of reasons. We're having increased high-energy ultraviolet light and cosmic rays and so on causing more tinder. We've got dry zones that are increasing all over the planet. We've got excessive rains in other places. These are going to cause collapses in food supply. And they're going to cause massive population shifts. The amazing population shift, for example, from North Africa and the Middle East isn't caused because there's some Muslim prophet said, go to Europe or go to Canada or America or New Zealand or Australia. It's because the drought in those areas basically drove them out of there. What people need to understand, if you're not preparing now, just like if Lot hadn't left, remember Lot's wife? There's actually, when I was in Israel back in 1999, the Israeli government actually had people that stood, brought me to the area where you could see a pillar of salt down at the southwest end of the Dead Sea near the Elohim Perazim drill site where FICO, the oil engineer for the Israeli oil company under Ariel Sharon, was drilling down there with Hayseed Stevens. He drilled down to 16,800 feet and he did find signs of oil shale. And there's actually the largest batholith of oil on the earth is there at the southwest end of the Dead Sea. And according to FICO, because I told FICO, the engineer, a prophetic vision I had had, that the magma underneath the earth had actually hit the oil field and caused a massive explosion and blew into space much of what's called the Dead Sea. Most of the Dead Sea we see now was actually the well-watered Valley of Siddim. Now, why is this important? It's because climate shift, climate disasters, etc., and many other things, including geo-economic issues, are going to drive the world to the verge of massive population death. Death of thousands and millions, and eventually war. And people don't get this, that if you're not prepared, and you'll be counted among those who have not repented. In other words, even if you're, quote, a good person, or a Christian, etc., if you don't take this warning seriously, and you don't prepare, you're going to starve to death or die of violence. And this is the same warning that God gave Lot, said, get out of the Sodom and Gomorrah, you're going to suffer too, guy. He even sent two angels there to actually remove him. In a sense, we're the angels, the two angels telling you now, Jonathan Gray and me, your brother and sister and the Lord, telling you better listen and prepare because disaster's coming. You might have a nice home, you might have two fridges like we have, you might have a greenhouse. If you're not prepared to deal with a disaster coming, you're not going to make it. Right, Jonathan?
Absolutely, yes.
Now, people need to understand that. They might be told falseness. Oh, don't worry, the rapture's coming. You're going to get taken out of here. The rapture project that God has is to take evil out of the earth, not good. If you go back to the original Aramaic Bible, there's absolutely no indication that God takes his people out of the earth. He wants physical descendants on the earth, your children and grandchildren for umpteen eons, literally coming to know the glory and the wonder of the Most High God as we spread not only across earth but across the galaxy and the universe. And he wants descendants to get to know the glory of God in eternity by learning about him in our time space called the land of the everlasting, which means it changes. And that's coming. And people don't understand that to get there from here is not going to be pleasant, is it?
The worst one the troublous world has ever seen lies ahead of us.
Right.
And it's repeated with three witnesses in Scripture saying that there'll be no time for you as a nation. It'll be like the time that's just ahead of us now.
Now, the other thing that people have to understand is a lot of people put their store on an individual. Like, Trump is a miracle man with the economy, was trying to denuclearize North Korea, was trying to get NATO to spend more money on defense and so on. Trump is basically giving us a period of grace. But you have to understand, if you know the definition of evil, what Trump is doing is the beautiful side of evil, isn't he?
Oh, yes.
Now, people, that doesn't make sense, Dr. Deagle. You're a supporter of Trump. Yes, I am. I support Trump when he's going to put a Supreme Court nominee that may review the case of Roe versus Wade and get rid of it. I support Trump when he actually gives us borders and keeps ICE up. I support Trump when he tries to bring in health care that makes it affordable for people to get health care rather than dying for lack of care. I support Trump when he actually starts to become a Christian, which he isn't. His Bible, I'm sure, in a 66-floor apartment with Apollo all over the place, is gathering dust because he doesn't have a testimony. If you have a testimony as a Christian, you repent of being a sinner, you fight against the sins you've done, and you continue to act with the grace of the Most High God to pray for your enemies during the time of tyranny. Because if you don't pray for your enemies, there's no grace for them, because the only way to bring judgment is to pray for grace, isn't there?
That's right.
People don't get this. It's in the Bible. God said, you know, even in the book of Psalms, pray for those who despise and despitefully treat you. In fact, if you don't, he's going to let their boot stay on your neck longer and make you suffer more. So I tell people they need to start preparing. I believe we have time. I think that America and the world has been giving so many years of time to prepare, but I don't see separation. I don't see people getting out of the big cities that are supposedly Christians. I don't see people. We have, Dave Mitchell, who's gathering lists of people that want to buy property outside of the big cities. We live out in the rural area outside of Vista. We are in our 8-home gated community prepared to actually survive here. We're trying to get lists of people that want to get, say, 100 to 200 families in secure areas where they can actually have their own power and water and other things, because when these we call refuge villages or survival villages are set up, they're not to survive 2 months or 6 months or a year. When society collapses, the big cities are going to be death zones. They're not going to be fit to go back to, are they?
They're going to be death traps for anyone who's still in them.
Right. And for anybody who's a survivor, it'll be the most horrendous B-movie you can ever imagine. I know they show a lot of these big action movies and so on, but people are not prepared for the collapse of civilization. I think roughly 75 to 80% of the population now lives in megacities, don't they, around the world?
That's a tragedy, because it's a recipe for the biggest disaster the world has ever seen.
Right, and even during the 1929 crash, we lived relatively close to farms and places where you could even do subsistence work to get a meal for the next day, and even if you slept in a barn and hay, you could survive.
Even despite that fact that the majority were in the country, Dr. Bill, 10 million Americans starved to death during that depression.
That's right.
Because most of those were in the cities.
Right, and it also led to a lot of disease that probably wasn't accounted for, those things, because they had malnutrition later. Remember, that was during the Great Depression. So
what lies ahead, of course, is horrendous, because majority of people, as you say now, are in the cities, just bedded down there, too comfortable to leave, and that's a sad thing.
And, of course, here's what's coming in the next 5 to 10 years. Not only are they doing geoclimatic disasters, and the globalists, even in our military has divisions that are dealing with climate change. Why do they use the word climate change? Because whether it's ice ages or global heating, they're going to take credit for all of it, saying the real issue is we need to get rid of carbon credit generators. That's us. And if you don't have food, you don't have barterable materials, which the gold of the future will be not only carrot bars, but it'll be actual barterable gold, i.e. food, you can give someone so they don't starve to death for the next week or month. That's the gold of the future, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That's the ultimate survival exchange rate.
Absolutely. Stay right there, Jonathan. We'll be right back. I'm glad our Skype is now working. We got better audio. Brian, welcome back. So, so what's amazing is people need to start preparing. And we had this discussion last hour with Amy and Legacy. People say, well, why, Dr. Deagle, do you involve the religious or spiritual? Because this is a spiritual judgment that's coming. Tacitus, who's one of the Roman historian historians, made the statement that last week was quoted by Lowell Ponte, one of our great authors and co-hosts here, that as law increases, so does tyranny. The fact is, the reason why we have laws is because we don't have the love of God in every human being, because we wouldn't need law unless if we had total empathy of other humans. If we had the love of God in all of us, we wouldn't need a judgment or even trials and juries and prisons. We wouldn't have starvation or lack of anything in any group of society. We wouldn't need socialism, capitalism, whatever. We would have a society that would have a constant caring as an organism rather than as individuals. And therefore, our societal government occurs as dialectics that are luciferic so that we can have order out of chaos, because as Jesus said to Peter and others, when they turned and actually thought in their own mind, they get away from me, you doer of evil, you son of Satan. And the fact is, we operate as sons and daughters of Satan when we believe in the dialectics, which is every public religion and every government on earth is luciferic. People don't want to hear that. They want to think the U.S. Constitution is Christian and that it's based on God's principles. No, it's not. It's based on the principles of Lucifer, which is the dialectics of opposition. So is every university and every scientific method, like the Z-score, to determine if you are receiving a treatment that will prevent you from dying from cancer or something else. It's all luciferic. People don't want to hear that, do they?
Well, people often are afraid of the truth.
Well, actually, it's not spoken by virtually anyone. Pastors, government officials, scientists, professors, and even parents. Basically, public society is totally and completely ignorant of the beautiful face of evil, aren't they?
Well, it's well disguised. You're right.
Very well disguised. In fact, Lucifer's laughing his head off at the population because they don't get it. And they also don't understand that even if they're, quote, good people or good Christians or kind to each other and give charities, if they don't prepare for the disaster coming, they're still going to die. And people aren't just going to die a physical death or starvation. They're going to make spiritual and other compromises that are going to separate themselves from their Creator God for eternity. They're going to do evil things in that time of tyranny that will literally separate their soul. And the place of hell is not a place where you go party like Flip Wilson or Sammy Davis Jr. It's a place of annihilation of the soul or the spiritual essence of what you are. People don't get that, do they? They don't realize that if you are not prepared in those days of evil, you literally will do things that will separate yourself from God forever. So this is not just a physical survival, it's a spiritual survival too, isn't it?
The two cannot be separated.
Right. That's why you have to have God in your... You have to also have the compassion to say, hey, are your neighbors prepping? Well, get in their face, even if it's embarrassing. Some people get mad at you. Relatives, why are you doing that? You're wasting money. Why are you storing food? Why are you doing this or that? And that, you know, as I say, it's better to be a year early than a day late, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
What do you think will happen to our civilization, say, I'm not going to put a date, but let's say just theoretically, say 2029, April, and we have Apophis, which is the asteroid coming toward Earth, and I'm not saying this prophetically or otherwise, I'm just saying theoretically, but a disaster coming, and its debris field is, say, 5.5 to 6 million square miles, so Apophis whizzes at, say, 1/4 lunar diameter, so it passes between the Earth and the Moon, but it doesn't hit us. But its debris field does. Some of this debris is very large. It might be thousands of objects between the size of a bus and a mountain striking the Earth. The climatic and the ecological damage would be unbelievable, starting fires, firestorms, damaging crops, destroying travel in the oceans and on land, causing catastrophes, and people, of course, trying to hide in underground shelters. A lot of the buildings and population would be destroyed by them. And people say, well, that can't happen. I said, sure it can. We already know Apophis is coming. In fact, we don't have a defensive Earth strategy at all from our various governments. We should be working toward trying to divert this asteroid, because it's actually 3 times the size of the one that destroyed the dinosaurs. And it's interesting that the epoch of the rise of the dinosaurs and the fall of the dinosaurs was started punctuated by an asteroid strike, the start of the dinosaurs millions of years ago, and ended them too. They were started and ended with an asteroid strike, weren't they?
Well, Dr. Bill, I think we should get down to practicalities in the few minutes we have.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's get practicalities. So let's talk about the last few things here. So when you're storing food, you want to store it with nitrogen. You want to store it after freezing it like a liquid nitrogen. You want to make sure you have layers of food supply, whether it's the legacy food or your own food dehydrated, and start acquiring things like these, their various beans and so on now, not waiting until it gets so damn expensive. If 3% of the population decide to start prepping seriously and say, hey, I'm going to take New Eagle seriously, and 10,000 or a million people decided to prep, all the supplies in major nations like New Zealand, Australia, America, and Canada would be gone in days, wouldn't they?
Oh, yes, yes. Once the rush starts, it's getting too late. The time to get ready is now, right now.
Right.
Very before the stampede begins.
And not only that, the price will go through the ceiling, so that it'll become so dear, and a lot of people won't be able to afford to do it, even if they wanted to.
That's true. And something that's important, Dr. Bill, before you store grains, the bugs, the rats, and the mice know good food. And among 100 bags of white rice, they'll always attack the one bag of brown rice. They know.
Right.
And knowing this, you may find it helpful to heat your brown rice to kill all bugs and eggs, and then store it in airtight containers until ready to use. Now, that's a precaution to make before you seal the storage.
I'll tell you a trick that I've learned that's actually a clever one. We have these ozone generators, and I use CPAP at night, right? And I clean my mask by actually putting it in a Ziploc bag, the mask, and actually generating ozone. So you actually can have a giant bag, if you want to call it, for your material, and you generate ozone and literally let it stay in there for hours or even days with it pumped up like a lot of ozone. Anything living in there is going to die. Insects, bugs, and, you know, snakes, worms, rats, whatever, they're going to croak.
Very good.
Besides heating, you can use ozone. Ozone's really cool, and you can just really pump it into the whole thing that's sealed up and let it stay sealed for a batter of days. Anything living in there, bacteria and everything, is going to croak. Good idea, hey?
That's a very good idea. And another suggestion is to store your grains in sealed, airtight containers, so that's like jars or bins, or they will become host to the bugs. And yeah, placing a bay leaf inside each container, or a peppermint gum placed on the inside.
That's a good one, too. Baileys will do it, too, peppermint gum. Baileys were used in ancient times to preserve food. They're amazing at killing off pests and driving them out, aren't they?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So the preparation is not just what food to get, but what to do after you get it, and that's how you store it.
Right.
Now, we're looking at the devastation that's going to come. And when it does, the surge of demand for food storage equipment, like canning supplies, will also turn into a tidal wave.
Right.
And food prepared for storage will, as you said earlier, will be almost impossible to secure. Now, if the news media even mentions a run on any food preparation equipment, it's over. Trust me. Buy plenty of jars and supplies now.
Yeah, like mason jars and things like that, right?
That's right, yes. And this is not a question of if, it's a question of when.
Right.
After the word gets out, the show is over, and those who have not taken the steps to prepare will be on their own.
Right.
Now, among the things I would recommend also is you're not going to be able to count on getting petrol and running your car. So the list I would make up for myself would include a bicycle. And don't forget to have a good bike. Now, again, we must remember that our bikes will not allow us to haul much stuff over a rough terrain, and when their tyres become punctured and destroyed, we'll have no way to replace them.
Right.
These things are all important to think about.
You can get a paratrooper bicycle, too, that's designed to withstand that kind of stress. And you can even have large containers that are hauled with a combination of things that can go on two paratrooper bicycles that can be foldable.
That sounds very, very good. Very worthwhile.
Yeah, we had John on before in the past talking about this in our list of things to prepare for. I think we should do some more videos on this, too, and actually have some pictures of what we're doing, too. So, Jonathan, let's see if we can plan in the next couple of weeks to kind of have some pictures along with this, maybe some pictures or pages of your book, and do some simulcast video. That'll be a good idea.
Well, we'd be much delighted, yes.
Excellent.
One final word, Dr. Bill. Make several lists. Write down everything you use in a day, and note other items which you use, but not every day. And make these lists so you know you can see them.
A pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.